The Gemara in Maseches Kesubos tells us the story of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's final moments. And in Parashas Bereishis, when we hear about Yaakov's final moments, we hear these touching brachos, these words of rebuke, this really picturesque final moments with all of the sons standing around their father. But here in the Gemara, it tells us a slightly different story of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's final moments. That in his final moments, he wasn't teaching each child about what they bring to the world. Rather, he was giving them a very important reminder. And what was that reminder? If you look in source number 30, again, we're on page 114, honoring other relatives. Tinu Rabbanan, b'sha shepitirato shel Rebbe. At the time of the death of Rebbe, Amar, livini ani tzarech, I need my children. Nichnesu banav itzlo, his children came in to be with him. Amar lahem. He's haru bechavod imchem. Make sure to honor your mother. Ner yihi adaluk bimkomo. My candle should remain lit. Shulchan yihi aruch bimkomo. My place should be set at the table as if I was still there. Mitatehe motat bimakoma. And my bed should remain in its same place as well. Yosef chafni shimon efrati him shimshuni bichayai vehim yishamshuni bimoti. My children, you served me in my life. And you must also serve me in my death. We had another unit about serving parents after their death. But here he's saying, I need you to follow my will. And my will is that you should respect your mother after my death. That is his final words to them. Doraita he. However, we have a question. Isn't it a mitzvah midoraita? Like, why did he have to tell his children in his final moments? He could have told them any grand chiddush in the world. And he told them, respect your mother. That's already a mitzvah midoraita. That's already something that we know. Kavidas avicha v'yasimecha. That's our starting point. That's what we've been expanding upon for how many weeks? And that's what he chooses to say. So the Gemara says, doraita he. It's already a mitzvah midoraita. So what are we learning here? Dichtiv kavidas avicha v'yasimecha. So what are we learning here? What is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi adding here to his children? Ish et av have. It must have been that it was not their mother, it was not the mother that gave birth to them, rather it was his wife. So again, it was not their biological mother, rather it was the wife of their father. However, the Gemara goes on and says, respecting the wife of your father is also a mitzvah midoraita. Ditanya kavidas avicha v'yasimecha. Es avicha lirabos eshas avicha. When it says the word es avicha, so that extra word, it could have just said kavid avicha v'imecha. Instead, it says kavid es avicha v'es imecha. That first es comes in to add the wife of your father. Es imecha lirabos ba'al imecha. And the es before imecha comes to add in the husband of your mother. Vav yisera diva es imecha lirabot achicha hagadol. So then we have one more seemingly extraneous part of the pasuk where it says es avicha vi es imecha. It could have just said kavid avicha vi imecha, but instead here it says kavid es avicha vi es imecha. Vi es imecha, the vav there adds in leramot achicha hagadol. This adds in your older brother as well. Hani mile. Rashi dechayav bechvod ishet aviv bechayay aviv michayim aval acher mita lo. However, the Gemara concludes here and says, what is the nature of this requirement? It says it's in the lifetime of your biological parent. So based on this Gemara, we can read into kavid asavicha v'yasimecha that who do you have to respect? You have to respect your father. You have to respect your mother. And then during your father's lifetime, you have to respect his wife. During your mother's lifetime, you have to respect her husband, if it's not the same as your biological father and mother. And you have to respect your older brother. So that is what this Gemara here at Maseches Kesubos is adding. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi seems to be telling his children that you might just think respect is for me and for your biological mother, but really there are other individuals who are added into this commandment. And upon my death, it's important for you to know who those laws still apply to. So now we want to delve into this a little more. What is the nature of this requirement? Do you have to respect these step? We're going to address them as step parents. Do you have to address these step parents in the same way that you respect your parents? Is it just during the lifetime of your parent, or is it actually also after their death? How does the respect of the older brother play into that? Is it really just an older brother? Is it any older brother? Is it only the oldest brother? Is it an older brother or sister? Is it the older brothers or sisters? Those are all the things that we are going to delve into now. So if you look in source number 31, the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha. Chayav adam l'chavid isha saviv, afo pisha ino imo. A person is required to respect the wife of his father, even though she is not his mother. Kol zman she'aviv kayam, the entire time while his father is alive. V'chayav l'chavid ba'al imo, and one is required to honor the husband of their mother. Kol zman she'imo kayamet, the entire time that his mother is alive. Aval achar mita, however, after death, eino chayav bechbodam. They are not obligated to respect them. Umikol makom davar hagud lechadim achar af achar mita. It is an appropriate thing to respect them even after the death of your biological parent. So what does this seem to come down to? That the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you must respect whoever is married to your biological parent during the lifetime of your biological parent. And even after their death, it's appropriate to still show them respect. So I think what's important to remember here is that what it seems to be rooted in is the respect of the father. That what would be the havamina, the desire to say that respect only applies during the lifetime of the parent, because it all comes back to the same essential requirement, which is that you respect your biological parents. So if we're saying during the lifetime of your father, it would be disrespectful to him to disrespect his wife. However, the possibility of saying that it doesn't apply anymore after death is because the actual person that you are directly required to respect is no longer alive. However, there it would kick in and it would say it's still appropriate to respect them because there's still, remember we said there's still the like dual nature. And the other part of Kibud Avim is to help us develop our Hakara Satov. So someone who has been there during the child rearing process, even if they are not your biological parent, it would be appropriate to respect them even after your biological parent is no longer alive. That there is a certain amount of hakaras hatov to that person, and therefore it's appropriate to show them respect. So now Nissim Karelitz, who is among the other achronim that comment that the obligation to honor one's step-parent is equivalent in severity to that of honoring one's parent. So if you look in source number 32, Umistabra de geder hakibud beish raviv ubalimo hu kimo geder mitzvas kibud aviv imo mamish. What level do you have to respect your step parent to? And the Chochanir of Nissim Karelitz is quoting here, and he's saying that it is the same requirements that you have in respecting your own parent. De kivan de lefanin meis avicha zo isha savicha, because he's saying it comes from the exact same pasuk. That it's not like we're pulling from somewhere else and we're adding in this idea of respecting a step-parent. Rather, it comes part and parcel of the commandment to respect our parents. So since we're learning it from es avicha v'es imecha, we would say that it's at the same level. Zo isha savicha, havi kimo avicha, de es hu riboy ba'etzem hatziboy. That the word es is adding into the initial commandment. U'mishum hachi k'tav harambam, de isha saviv hu b'chlal kibud aviv. And the Rambam specifically states that it is appropriate to respect a step-parent in a unique way that is reserved for parents and not just like any other elderly person. So therefore, if there is a requirement incumbent upon him to clothe and feed and drink and give to drink to his parents, so too would apply to his step-parent. That miyakdim, but if we arrive at the question of who should come first, who should take priority, ayim b'minchas klinach sham shekatav de'im imo umeret hashkeini mayim, that if his mother says, give me water, v'ba'al imo omer hashkeini mayim, and his stepfather says, bring me mayim, v'adai mechuyav li'tein li'imo. First and foremost should definitely come your biological parent. That if we're talking about a step-parent's kibud versus a parent's kibud, the parent's kibud should come first. But if we're talking about a step-parent's kibud versus a general human being's kibud, one should show greater respect to a step-parent than they would to any other person. So in contrast to the mitzvah of kibud, there is no mitzvah of mora, And therefore, one would be permitted to contradict their parent to their step-parent to sit in their place, as is stated in the Bitzel HaChachma, source number 33, V'hinei b'sefer ikari dinim, misapkalei, imchayev adam b'mora aviv hagadol, v'lo hechriya. There is an uncertainty. We're not sure whether someone is required to fear or to revere their parents as they are, or an older brother. The lo hechriya, and there is no decision made in the ikari dinim. Amnam b'sefer beis meir katav, but in the book beis meir it says ki achiv hagadol lo nitrba elo lemitzvas kibud velo lemoro. But an older brother is not. We are not required to fear them, only to respect them. Ayin shab lefiza lo shayach ba'achiv hagadol hach detanya lo umid b'mkomo velo yoshev b'mkomo ve'afilu b'chayav. So we say these additional relatives, the stepmother, the stepfather, and the older brother, we are obligated to respect them. We are obligated in kavod, but we are not obligated in mora. We are not obligated to revere them. So therefore, we may sit in their place. We do not have to stand up when they come into a room. We are allowed to contradict them. And these things are different from the way that we must respect and revere our biological parent. So that was the piece on step-parents. So now let's investigate the third character here, which is the older brother. So it says in the Gemara.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Sorry. Yeah. It sounded like from one of the first explanations for why you have to honor them, like the step parents, is because they were involved in raising you or raising a child. But what about a step parent that I guess joins the family later on in life? Then they
were. So that was my addition, that it was like this element of Hakara Satov that we keep coming back to. So that was not in the source itself. But I think even the element of Hakara Satov, like I know that my grandfather got remarried once my parents were already married. So she was never a mother figure at all to my father. He was already married and out of the house. Like it wasn't an aspect of raising, but there was still an element of Hakara Satov for the way that she was there for my grandfather. So right. I think that even if they do come in later in life, there's still anyone who comes into your family in a positive way. I think there is an element of Hakara Satov that comes into play there.
But then if it's an aspect of Hakara Satov, that's not really Kibud Avim. Like,
right. But I think we said that the essence of Kibud Avim is that we want to engender within ourselves this natural Hakara Satov, that even if someone didn't outwardly do something for us, we owe them something by nature of the fact that they exist in the position that they exist in. So I think that we're always coming back to that in Kibud Avim, even though it's a separate, even if you didn't feel it, you still have to show the respect. Okay. I think that if we're trying to like show an explanation, we come back to that.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Deanna. There you go. Did that work?
Adult children, like a step parent, you know, they could be very like mean or whatever because, you know, they don't like the step parent or something like that. And they don't show my or they tell the parent, well, like say before the parent gets married, you know, tries to talk them out of marrying this person. Let's say there's nothing wrong with this person at all, but the kid, whatever, the adult child just doesn't want their parent to be with anybody else or whatever. Is that an aveira, what they do? You know what I mean? Because they're complaining against, they're saying their father. It's not like a parent telling, you know, a young 21-year-old, I don't think you should marry this person, blah, blah, blah. It's like they're doing to the parent, you know what I'm saying? Oh, don't marry this person. But would that be something like an aveira?
I don't think I have the authority to answer that. I'm not sure. I think like all these situations are really complicated, and that's a really hard one because there's so many different emotions at play there. There's so many different characters who are interacting there. Like there's so many different dynamics that I think I'm definitely, obviously, if there's absolutely nothing wrong with the person and the kid's just trying to stir up trouble, then I don't think they're doing the appropriate thing. But whether to say they're doing an outright avira, I don't know. Because it's, who are they contradicting? Are they contradicting their parent? Because the parent's the one that's saying, I want to marry this person. And they're saying, no, don't. Or would it fall under like contradicting the step parent, which we said they're allowed to do? So I'm not sure. That's my answer. Is it definitely everyone feels that there's a discomfort in that situation. Whether I can point to an exact avira, I don't know, and whether the child should or should not, I can't speak to. But definitely complicated. Okay, so next we're going to go on to an older brother. The Gemara itself says, "Lerabot achiv hagadol." To bring in your older brother. So again, the question that we're going to have here is it only your oldest brother, or is it all brothers that are older than you? And is it a brother or also a sister? So those are the questions that we're going to address now. So if you look in source number 34 in the Shulchan Aruch, Chayav adam b'chavur aviv hagadol, bein shehu achiv me'aviv, bein shehu achiv me'imo. One is obligated to show respect to their older brother, whether they are their older brother from their father or their older brother from their mother. The Rama comments here, "V'afilu hakatan hu tamid chacham v'gadol b'Torah yoter min hagadol." The Rama adds in here that it's not a fact of who is the most mature, who is the most successful, and he says even if the younger brother is a tremendous Talmid Chacham, by nature of the fact that he is younger than his other brother, he must show him respect. So now the Ramban here in his Hasagos LeSefer HaMitzvos comments and says, "Aval achicha hagadol im chashvu arishonim she'in haMitzvakin ela b'chayei ha'avot." So the Ramban is saying here that the obligation does not end when the first thing we're going to say is this an obligation when the parent is alive, or is it an obligation that lasts even past the life of the parent? So the Ramban is saying here that one might think that it ends with the death of the parent, that it's really all taloi, it all relies on respecting the parent. So let's say there's a parent and a child. If there's an older brother and the child is disrespecting the older brother in the face of their parent, the parent is going to in turn be disrespected, because who wants to see their child be disrespected, especially by their other child? So the side to say that the respect of an older brother would terminate at the parent's death is based on that one mitzvah is reliant upon the other, that the mitzvah to respect the older brother is reliant on the mitzvah to respect the parent. However, the Ramban says he doesn't believe this is so. He says he believes that the requirement to respect an older brother lasts beyond the death of the parent, because it is a commandment in and of itself that is pulled out from a different word in the pasuk. That the vav here is there to add specifically the older brother. So there's a separate aspect of the commandment, and therefore it would last beyond the life of the parent. The Birch Yosef in source number 6 tells us, Asikna d'michavrata d'ha'idina d'chayev l'chabed l'chol achiv hagdolim mimenu. The Birch Yosef is answering our question of, do we have to respect just our one oldest brother, or also any brothers that are older than us? Zecharim v'nekivot. It says you have to respect male and female. Ve'af la'achar mitata aveim, even after the death of the parent, ve'kechol asher dibarnu. Ve'hachi mashmahin, lefi apshat, mistamot divrei haposkim, ve'hin lefi derech ha'emes, shakatav rabinu ha'arizal, ve'hachi naktinam. This is what is accepted. That based on the Birch Yosef, which is the chidah, he says that who must we respect? We must respect all of our older siblings, bein b'zachar, bein b'nekiva, whether they are male or whether they are female, whether it is during the life of our parent or whether it is not during the life of our parent. We must respect all older siblings, and this is what's accepted. However, in contrast, Rav Shlomo Eger, the son of Rav Akiva Eger, in source number 37, gives us the opposite approach, and he says, Chayav adam bechvor achiv hagadol, a person is required to respect their older brother. Haynu ach harishon v'lo hashini. He has a more literal read that achiv hagadol is a very technical distinction, that we must respect our oldest brother, not our oldest and the second, only the oldest brother. Af shegadol mimenu b'shanim. Even if the second brother is also much older than him, you have no need to respect him. The technical obligation to respect him is on the oldest brother. So Nisim Karelitz in source number 38, Paskins for us. Mikol makom al pidin. Darshinan miture devav l'rabot et achich ha-gadol. Vadai de'iri rak ba'ach ha-gadol she'ba'achim. He says this only applies in the oldest of all the brothers. V'lo kol achiv gdolim mimenu. And not all of the older siblings. V'kol shekin lo achoto ha-gdola. And he says it does not include your oldest sister. V'al kol panim. However, he said, this doesn't mean that we can beat up all of our other siblings as long as we respect our oldest sibling. This isn't giving us a free pass to do whatever we want. He says there is an idea that you must respect them out of the general rules of Derech Eretz. So what is the Bircha Yosef talking about? He is talking about the additional people that we should respect out of Derech Eretz, that the technical obligation that falls upon a sibling within the commandments of Kibud Av V'Aim is only on the oldest brother. Anyone else, whether it be a sister, whether it be other brothers, all falls under Derech Eretz, that we should respect them, but it is not the same technical obligation. So the Pesachei Tshuva also rules that one is not obligated to honor one's sister, even if she is the oldest. So if we look in source number 39, Achiv Hagadol Ayin Be'er Hetiv Shel Rav HaMaharit. Ve'ayin B'Shavot Yaakov Sham Shekatav Od D'Dafka La'Achiv Hagadol Chayav L'Chavir Ve'lo La'Achoto HaGdola. That it is specifically for our oldest brother and not for our oldest sister. Rak Mi Derech Eretz. Our sister would fall under Derech Eretz. So the obligation that we would have, the technical things of what we do have to do and what we cannot do, would only fall on our oldest brother. It would not apply on a sister, and it would not fall on other older siblings. So lastly, in the Yalkus Yosef, he makes this practical for us and gives us another aspect. In source number 40, so the Yalkut Yosef tries to explain, what is this respect that we must show for our brother? Is it really the same that we must show to our parents, that we have to clothe him, feed him, and drink him, and give him to drink? Rather, he says, no, it's not. It's not the same level of obligation. Rather, you shouldn't embarrass your oldest brother. And when he stands up to get an aliyah, you should stand up from him. You don't have to respect him in the same way that you have to respect your parent. Technically, there is a rule that when an older brother walks within four amos of a younger brother, that the younger brother is obligated to stand. But most people are not nohig like this, that most people do not follow this opinion. I could just see the older brothers like taunting their younger siblings and like jumping within four amo, jumping out, jumping in, jumping out, making the younger sibling stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. I don't think it would go quite as peacefully as standing up for our parents. And there's no obligation of Yira for our older brother, and therefore you are able to call him by name, and you are able to contradict his words, and you are able to sit in his place. If the oldest brother is a Ben Torah, Yosef lo ta'er Rebbe Ploni, you can add onto his name a certain language of respect that you can call him Rebbe. When the oldest brother stands up to get an aliyah, all of the brothers should stand up until his portion of the Torah reading is finished. So we conclude here with a brother, is that lahalacha, we say we are required in the technical obligation that is similar, but not the same as respecting our parents, only for our oldest brother. If our oldest sibling is a sister, there is not the same level. And to all of our other siblings who are older than us, but not the oldest, we don't have technical Kibud Av V'Aim. Rather, respecting them falls under the general obligation to have Derech Eretz. So that does not mean that we allow for beating up our siblings. Again, we are not meant to put them down. We are not meant to taunt them. We are meant to get along with them. But it is only a technical obligation on our oldest sibling, if our oldest sibling is a boy. So now the last one, I feel like this one is like the juiciest one, is honoring your in-laws. Is what is the obligation to honor your in-laws? Is it the same as your parents? Is it different than your parents? Is it markedly different from your parents? Is it meant to be different? How do we approach respecting in-laws? So in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, we actually have the source for this discussion, in which David refers to his father-in-law Shaul as Abba. So if we look in Shmuel Aleph, in Pasuk Tet, Vayomer David l'Shaul, Lama tishma et divrei adam lemor, hinei David mevakesh ra'atecha. So David said to Shaul, why do you listen to other people who say that I am trying to cause bad to you? Hinei hayom hazeh ra'uinecha, et asher natancha Hashem hayom biyadi b'mahara, v'amar lahargecha v'tachas aleha, v'omar lo eshlach yadi ba'adoni, ki mashiach Hashem hu. David said, people tell you I want to do bad to you, but what do you mean? I was within the closest opportunity to kill you today. I was in the cave. I could have killed you. However, I said, how could I do this? Because you are Mashiach Hashem. Ve'avi ra'a gam re'e et knaf mi'ilcha biyadi. So now David says in this dramatic moment, he says, Abba, see, I have the corner of your coat in my hand. I could have killed you, but I didn't. So while there is so much, obviously, to unpack from that story, and I don't think that we want to base our child-in-law, parent-in-law relationships on David and Shaul, one thing that the poskim do pick up on is the fact that David addressed Shaul as Avi, as my father. So the Shulchan Aruch in source number 42 says, Chayav Adam l'chabir chamav. A person is obligated to respect their father-in-law. The Turi Zahav comments there, l'chabir chamav v'katav mori chami. That when you address him, you should say mori chami, that you should respect, you should address him in a respectful way. Hu hadin chamuto, this is also the din, this is also the rule when it comes to a mother-in-law. V'chin katav b'sefer tzedal adarach, and this is written in the Sefer Tzedal adarach. However, the Bach writes that it's not equivalent to the honor that you must show to your parents. So the Shulchan Aruch says you are obligated l'chabir chamav v'chamutav. You are obligated to respect your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. However, the Bach here is going to explain how it's different from the respect that we must show to our parents. V'milashon Rabbeinu Hator Yira'ah she'enu chayav ki im l'chabdo k'derach she'mechabir hazikinim b'kima v'hidor v'chayote. The Bach says here, what is the respect that you must show to a mother-in-law and father-in-law? Is it the same respect that you must show to your parents? And the answer that the Bach gives is no. You are obligated to respect them in a way that you must respect any other zakin, anyone else who is older than you. There is a certain level of respect you must show to them. Someone who is respectable, you must respect. For example, you must stand up for them. You must glorify them. You must act towards them in a respectable way. However, in the Midrash, it tells us, it quotes from our Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Mikan mechayiv adam b'chavur chamav b'kibur aviv. From there, we learn that one is obligated to respect a father-in-law under the obligation of kibur av. Mashma shekol ma shemechuyav la'asot b'aviv, mechuyav gam kein la'asot b'chamav. So it would seem from there that everything that one is obligated to do for a father, one is also obligated to do for a father-in-law. Viti, mashaloka tav rabinu kin bepirush, gam sha'ar hamechabrim lohiviu din zekol ikar. But we don't see this practically brought down the halacha that it is the same level of respect. Vinir eh, demishum shabitar hachi masik, amar rabbi Yehuda, avira asha amar le shaul, vigamra amar le avner, virabanan amre, avira amar le avner, zuhu marido raita. Gamra'a amar l'sha'ol. And he says, actually, there's a machlokas on the pasuk itself, whether David was even referring to Sha'ol in that pasuk. He could have been referring to Avner because Avner was his teacher of Torah. V'chevan d'rabanan imre lo kara l'sha'ol avi, in ra'ya mishum d'tzarech l'chabed chamav ke'aviv. So therefore, if we're able to invalidate the pasuk that they're basing it off of, we can say that there is most definitely no obligation to respect our in-laws in the exact same way that we are obligated to respect our parents. V'kivitehu niktin shehim rabim u'mishum hachish hishmituhu haposkim. Aval rabbeinu svirulei, demikol meikom chayav chabdo kemushar zekinim chashuvim kidiprishit demeamar gamra ilema shesamchu b'miktas kibarav. So we say there is definitely some sort of obligation here to respect our in-laws, But we can say that based on the fact that the pasuk is really not so clear, and even the Shulchan Aruch that says we're expected to respect, but it doesn't expound upon exactly what that respect is, we can say that we are obligated to respect our in-laws to a certain extent that we would respect any other older, respectable person. So the Shach also comments here and says we are only obligated in partial respect of our in-laws. Chayav Adam, katav habayis chadash, dehayinu shesamchu b'miktas lekavod, v'chayav chavdo kemo sha'ar zekinim chashubim. We are obligated in a miktas kavod, in a smaller amount of kavod, and therefore we must respect our in-laws as we would respect any other zekinim chashubim, any other important older people. The Alkat Yosef in source number 46 pass, rules for us here. Davar hagun v'ra'oi shelo likro l'chamav v'chamoto b'shimam haprati. It is appropriate and worthy that we should not call our in-laws by their first names. Shari gam l'zikinim chashuvim in korim b'shimam haprati. Because also respectable older people, important older people, we wouldn't call them by their first names either way. You would never go to that important stately older woman that you know and call her by her first name. You would call her Mrs. So-and-so. In the same way, it is inappropriate to, even if we don't have a technical obligation of kibud avim in the same way as we do for our parents, we should not be referring to our in-laws by their first names. Ella, im to our Rebbe Ploni, you should use some sort of respectable title. Yesh, and then he continues in Lamed Gimel, yesh shenahagu l'kro l'chamav l'chamoto b'shem Abba v'ima. There is a minhag to call the in-laws Abba and Ima, k'derech shedor ha-melech kara l'sha'ol. Kibo shedavid ha-melech kara l'sha'ol. In the same way that David ha-melech did to Sha'ol, v'ein iser b'davar, there is nothing wrong with this. V'imrota l'kro l'chamav b'toar avi mori. However, if you want to refer to your father-in-law as avi mori, yesh omrim she'in lo la'so kim. There are those that say this much would not be appropriate. Mishem shekinoizeh, because this endearing term, lo nitein lihi amar ki im la'aviv imo, because this is reserved as really special for your father and mother. V'im yekra toa zeh gam ba'achirim, and if you call others by this same endearing name, nir echas v'shalom ki kofer ba'aviv imo. It would seem like you're dafka disrespecting your parents. It wouldn't seem like you're only adding on to the respect of someone else. It would seem like in a certain way that you're disrespecting your parents. So the Alkat Yosef is telling us that we cannot call our in-laws by their first names. You are able to call them Abba v'Ima. You are able to call them Rebbe, like in respectful, Mr. and Mrs. But you cannot call them Avi Mori. You cannot use the same terms that you use for your parent for them. I think it's interesting. I was like thinking about when I was learning this, that I feel like there's always this debate of what you call your in-laws. Thank God I, from like the first minute, just jumped in, called my in-laws Abba and Ima, and like all has been Baruch Hashem smooth sailing since then. But I know many people run into this sort of like awkwardness of like, when do you make the switch? What do you call them? Maybe you just don't call them anything until you have children. But it was interesting to see it actually written out that like all the way back to David HaMelech, he called Shaul Avi, he called him his father, and that it's even discussed in the postgame whether or not you should name that you use the name Abba v'Ima. So we think we're coming up with new things around here. It's never new. In Chadash Tachad HaShemesh, it always comes back to something that we had before. So until now, even though it wasn't entirely clear, we were talking about a husband's obligation to respect his in-laws. This was on the male. So now we're talking about what is a daughter-in-law's obligation to respect her in-laws. So up until now, we were talking about a son-in-law and his obligation to his wife's parents. Now we're talking about the wife's or the daughter-in-law's obligation to her in-laws. So in source
before we get into that, though, what's the logic to assume that it would be any different?
I believe. Now, it's not written anywhere here, and I don't know why they didn't bring it, but I believe it goes all the way back into the pasuk in Bereishis, where it says that an ish should azav et aviv v'imo v'dabak v'ishto, that a husband has an obligation to leave his family and cling to his wife, and the wife does not have that. That's not as explicitly written. I think that's what you're going to see. Let's look at the sources here for a minute, and then I think we can come back to it. They're going to discuss basically when the wife doesn't want to respect her in-laws, that the husband sort of, it comes that, let's hold on for a minute, okay? It seems like the husband doesn't have a choice, that he has to respect his in-laws, whereas the wife, it's going to be slightly more conditional. And I think it's based on that pasuk, the fact that we say dafka that a husband is obligated to cling to his wife and be there in that way. Whereas we don't say that a woman is obligated in the same way to sort of like separate herself.
That's like, interesting, just because in, I think, most scenarios, the wife takes on the minhagim of the husband's family, the halachot that the husband follows. So even though we followed that for, I guess, our day-to-day in terms of that aspect, you're saying like we husband still does cling to the wife.
Right. And then I think also in terms of like relationship wise, we often like, I know there's also a discussion regarding like where to spend Yom Tov, that there's an obligation. There's a, if a wife wants to be like that, it is brought down in halachic sources that the wife should be able to be with her family if she wants to be with them for Yom Tov. So I think there is a discussion of like sort of that nature of like who has to separate from their family more. Obviously, this is very circumstantial with each family, but I know that that's also a discussion in halacha that even though, yeah, we say that on a technical level, we adopt the husband's minhagim, which would seemingly connect us more to the husband's family. When it comes to these certain like time spending or respect showing, there is this idea that the wife is going to be want to be more connected to her family, and that's respected in the halacha. So let's look at the next few sources. So in source number 47, V'chein hisha amra, in ritzono sheyavo'u lebeis avicha v'imich, achicha v'achyotich, v'ini shokhanet imahem b'chatzer echad, m'feishem mar'inli u'mitarinli. So if a wife says that I don't want to be around your parents, I don't want to be around your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, because they cause me trouble, they bother me and they cause me distress, shom inla, you should listen to her. We think that like all these things are like so newfangled that we're like telling husbands to like respect the wishes of their wife. No, all the way back in Shulchan Aruch. If the wife is saying that she doesn't want to go to your family for Yom Tov, listen to her, respect her, don't bother her about it. And the Yalkut Yosef in source number 48 says, "Kfar nitzba er la'ayel she'im yish imo be'ishto lahorav." If there is trouble between his wife and his parents, lo yichas al ishto b'shvil asot nachas ruach lahorav. He should not get angry at his wife in order to bring nachas ruach, to bring rest to his parents. Aval mishto b'chitzifa b'dibor klapei horav. However, if the wife is being blatantly disrespectful of his parents, afsha hatzadek ima, even though she is right, she is allowed to contradict them. Ra'oy lo lehashtika b'nachas. He should try to quiet her gently. V'lomar la linhog b'derech eretz. And he should tell her that she should try to act appropriately within the rules of derech eretz. That even though, as it seems to be saying, there is no technical obligation on the wife to have respect for her in-laws, it does fall under derech eretz as well. V'imro esha ha-merivot bin ishto l'horav hin tchufu v'gromot l'freya b'shalom b'ito. If these disagreements are becoming all-encompassing, that they're really causing a wedge in his shalom bayis, yishtadel shelo lahigia l'beis horav yachad im ishto, that he should go to visit his parents on his own. He shouldn't go with his wife. Achshu atzmo yivakeri tzlam l'hafis et da'atam. That he should go on his own to his parents, but he shouldn't make her be in a situation that she doesn't want to be in. So it seems that while the husband has a technical obligation, l'chabed et chama v'chamotav, that he has to technically respect under the general idea of kibra avaim, but probably distilled down slightly to the level of zekinim chashuvim, he does have that obligation to his mother-in-law and father-in-law, whereas the wife is meant to respect her in-laws on the basis of derech eretz, but doesn't have the same technical obligation. So with that, we conclude Hilchos Kibud Avaim. There is one more section that is like further in. We've had those throughout, and if you want to explore those anytime now that we've done, these were sort of meant to be all of the fundamental categories and ideas within Hilchos Kibud Avaim, but the articles on further in are fascinating. The final one is the mitzvah of honoring parents who are abusive. So that's the final Ian. So that is left for you to do on your own.